Normally when I begin praying or when I begin preaching, I'll say something like, "This is the day that the Lord has made." And then the congregation will say, "And I will rejoice and be glad in it." So let's try that. "This is the day that the Lord has made." This is, we were talking about it earlier. The weather today is exactly the way that God wanted it to be. We may have tried to dodge the raindrops on the way in this morning, but it's exactly the way that God intended it to be. So we can rejoice in the provision that God has given us. And we need to remember the folks over in Dallas that were hit so bad last night with the storms. Matter of fact, let me pray again for them. Father, we just commit this time to you. And Lord, we just lift up the people who were affected by the storms last night. Lord, we pray that you would be glorified, that people would come to you because of this situation, because of their church being destroyed or losing loved ones. I pray, Lord, that you would direct people to you through this tragedy. Father, as we open your word, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our ears, because we want to see Jesus. We want to hear your voice through your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. "And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, my rock and my redeemer." In a couple of days, we're going to turn the pages on the calendar and start a new chapter in a new year and struggle for several weeks to write 2016 on our checks. How was your Christmas? Was it good? Did you get enough to eat? A lot of times we will enjoy the fruits of our labor and our times together with our families, we'll eat a lot, and then we'll say, "Well, my diet starts tomorrow," or "My diet starts with the new year," and we'll say, "I'm going to lose X number of pounds," or "I'm going to eat better," or "I'm going to spend more time helping those that need help," or just any number of other things that we may say. The top New Year's resolutions are things like losing weight and going to the gym. And normally, if you want to buy exercise equipment, normally about the middle to end of February is the best time to get the best prices on some used equipment. A lot of times it's hard to get in the gym in January, but it's empty about mid-February. Some of the top resolutions are to get organized, to take a trip, to learn something new, to spend more time with family and friends, to volunteer and help others, to get out of debt or to save money or something like that. And all of these are good ideas, but unfortunately they're not measurable. And a lot of times we'll get to the end of the year and we'll say, "Well, there I go again, I messed up. I didn't meet my goals, or I didn't do what I wanted to do." And a lot of it comes down to not being measurable. And we give it a half-hearted commitment a lot of times. All of these can be good. And a lot of times God will honor the efforts that we give. But like I said, a lot of times we approach the New Year's resolutions with half-heartedly. Acts chapter 11, verses 21 to 23. Acts 11, 21 to 23. "And the hand of the Lord was with them." This is the people in Antioch. "The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. And the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose." Another translation of this is he urged them to stay with it for the rest of their lives. The NIV puts it this way: he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And I think that brings out the meaning of what is here, not just that they would be serious about it, but that they would be true to the Lord with all their hearts. What is it in your life that you have a commitment that is a wholehearted commitment, where you are all in? Is there anything? This message is not about weight loss or getting into shape or anything like that. It's about remaining true to the Lord with a firm resolve of the heart. Following Christ requires a wholehearted commitment, just like Barnabas, this son of encouragement, encouraged the people to follow the Lord steadfastly with a whole heart. Following Christ also results in godly success. Joshua was one of 12 spies that went out into the promised land and spied it out. And he and Caleb were the only two that came back and gave a good report and said, "We can take this land." But 10 of the spies that went out and saw this land said, "Yes, the land is good, but there are giants in the land. And we appeared to ourselves and to them as grasshoppers. They're going to stomp us." And because of the unbelief of these 10, it spread through the other folks, and they said, "Well, we can't do this." So for the next 40 years, as an entire generation of Hebrews died out, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that had been in the promised land who got to enter the promised land again. For 40 years, Joshua had been next to Moses, and Moses had heard from God. And God had spoken to Moses. And for the first time in his life, in Joshua chapter 1, God shows up and he talks to Joshua. And just like every other time in Scripture when there's an encounter with God or an encounter with an angel, normally the first words are, "Don't be afraid." You know, we just read the Christmas story, and the first thing that the angel said is, "Shepherds, don't be afraid. Mary, don't be afraid. Joseph, don't be afraid." And in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, God says, "Joshua, be strong and courageous. Being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may be prosperous in whatever you do. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to observe all that's written in it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened, don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Three verses, and he talks about in every one of those verses about success. He talks about godly success. And he doesn't talk about what you're going to wear on your wrist. It doesn't talk about what kind of car you're going to drive. It talks about godly success, that God's going to be with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to be present with you. And that's a promise that God gave to Joshua, because Joshua was faithful to God and believed God when God said, "I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to deliver you into the land." This was after the death of Moses. God comes to him and says, "Moses is dead." This is the end of Moses' leadership. "And you're the one to take him into the promised land." Now, I would assume that that's a pretty intense word from God, because here you have 2 or 3 million people that you're going to be leading into this new land. God said, "Don't be afraid, be strong and very courageous." During the years that Moses had been leading the people, God told him to write down a record of what God had said and what God had done. It was a reminder for Joshua to wipe out the Amalekites. It included the Book of the Covenant, which was a record of the journeys of the people from Egypt into Canaan. There were special regulations regarding the inheritance. And there was a song that Moses taught the people. And Moses kept adding material to this until he was finished with his ministry among the people. But it wasn't enough just for the priests to carry this book of Moses and to say, this is the word of God. It wasn't enough for them to just carry this record of God's dealings with the people of Israel. It wasn't enough to just say, yes, we have a valid record of God's dealing with us in the past. God says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you will meditate on it day and night, so that you can be careful to observe and to be obedient to everything that's written in it. Then will you be prosperous, and then you will be successful. Deuteronomy chapter 6 was something that every young Jewish boy would know very well. This is where God says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." He continues on with Joshua with Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your homes, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they will be frontlets between your eyes, and you will write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The Hasidic Jews will wear these boxes on their forehead, and they'll tie them on their arms, and they'll have little scriptures written in there, and they take this commandment very literally. They put these boxes on their head so that they, everywhere that they look, this little box has the word of God. But God's saying that it's not so much about having a sign on your doorpost or having a sign next to your front door that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Have you ever seen those? It's not so much about those literal signs. Look at the context of what he says. As you rise, as you walk, as you talk to your children, as you sit, as you lie down. In other words, with everything that you do, keep God's word at the forefront. Psalm chapter 1 talks about a very similar situation. He says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Did you notice that in comparison to what we saw in Deuteronomy? As you stand, as you sit, as you walk. "Blessed is the man who does those things. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." The psalmist is linking the ideas of delighting and meditating on God's word. Jesus said that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You've got to put your money where your mouth is, in other words. As you walk, as you talk, as you spend time with your family, as you go to work, as you lay down to sleep at night, keep God's word at the forefront of your mind. Psalm 143:5, "I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on your works and consider what your hands have done." When I started this morning, I said, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you." That's from Psalm 19. This idea of meditation has to do to ponder, to give serious thought and consideration for. It's to enjoy prosperity and be successful in the land of Canaan, And to do this, Joshua had to do three things according to Joshua chapter 1. He had to not let the law of the Lord depart from his mouth. He had to meditate on it day and night. And he was to do everything that's written in it to be obedient. God promises to Joshua that if he will do these things, he will be successful. And he promises the same thing to us. God says to Joshua, as you take this book of the law, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, as you remember this, as you meditate on it, as you think about it, as you keep these things in your mind, then you're going to be successful. God says, for everything that I have revealed in my word, keep these things, meditate on these things, obey these things, and you'll be successful. We have a more complete copy that includes what Joshua was given, but we have a more complete record of what God has done and what God wants us to do. And if we want to have biblical success, if we want to have biblical prosperity, we've got to let this word dwell in our hearts. We've got to keep this word on our lips. We've got to keep this word in our minds. Next week, we're going to turn the pages on the calendar or put a new calendar up on the wall or click the button on our organizers. It's going to be a new day. It's going to be a new opportunity to start over again. If we're to keep these words on our mouth, if we're to keep these words in our minds, how can we do that if we don't spend time in His Word? How can we do that if we don't memorize His Word? Oh, well, I can't memorize. Sure you can. You know what your phone number is, right? You know what your children's phone numbers are. You remember your birth date. You remember your anniversary date. It's not any more difficult than that. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If you treasure God's word, your heart's going to be there, and you're going to put forth the effort to remember these things. In this new year, just like Barnabas, I want to exhort you to remain faithful to the Lord and to be steadfast with a wholehearted commitment in walking through the next year with Christ. Now, how is your spiritual growth now compared to 12 months ago? How do you measure your spiritual growth? I would think that probably most of us don't have a measurement. Well, let me challenge you to have a measurement so that you can look back a year from today and you can say, wow, look at what God has done. Look at what God has taught me. But you need to have some type of measurement. And let me just suggest a measurement for you this morning. I want to challenge you to read through the Bible this coming year. Now, you may have read through the Bible before. You may think, wow, that's a big book. I can't do that. Well, most of you, probably all of you know Greg Duke, and he put on Facebook a few days ago that he looked at his Bible and he took page one and he took the last page and he said, divide that by 365, and that means only 3 pages a day. I can read 3 pages a day, can't you? If you want to go through the New Testament, just the New Testament, you can do that by reading 1 chapter a day, 5 days a week. 1 chapter. If you want to read through the whole Bible, it's only going to be about 4 chapters a day, or about 3 pages. I can do that. So let me challenge you to do that. Read through the entire Bible this year, or at least through the New Testament this year. It's only going to take you 10, 15 minutes or so at the average reading speed, but you can do it. Let me also suggest and exhort you to memorize at least one passage a month. You might even think about this passage, Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my commandment, my servant, has given you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have success in whatever you do. And this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be prosperous in whatever you do. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I memorized that passage about 10 years ago. And I keep reminding myself of what this passage says, because I need to be strong and courageous. I'm not leading a couple of million people into a new land, but I'm leading my family and I'm leading myself into a deeper walk with Christ. This idea of meditating on the Word, it's not just memorizing, it's ruminating it in your mind. It's like a cow out in the field will eat some grass and then they'll swallow that grass. A little while later, you'll see him chewing again, but he hasn't been around any grass to eat. No, what he's done is he brought up what's in his stomach. He chews on it a little while and then he swallows it again and brings it back up and chews on it and swallows it and brings it back up and chews it and swallows it to get everything out of it. And that's the idea of what we need to do as we're meditating on God's Word. We memorize it and then we keep bringing it up. Wow, I sure am discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you. Oh, I'm scared. Be strong. Be courageous. It's bringing that thing, bringing that word back up again. Let me give you a couple of resources. If you've never read through the Bible, there are some great resources on the internet. If you have a tablet or a phone, you can install an app called the Bible app. And you can choose a Bible reading program through the Bible app or online at YouVersion or Bible.com. You can go to several other places. You can go to my website, Psalm 34-8.com, and I've got some things there about getting into the Word, and have some good tools that you can download and print up. And then as you're reading through the Bible, just check off that you read that particular day. And as you go through the year, you can look back and say, wow, I actually read the book of Genesis, or I actually read through the Gospels. And you can look back and say, I have a measurement and I can tell that I'm more mature now. Why? Because I was in the Word on a regular basis. Yeah, you're going to probably miss a day every once in a while. I don't have any stones in these hands. I've done that. I do that. But the idea is to stay in His Word regularly. I don't just eat once a week. I eat several times a day, as we should. Don't just rely on David's preaching on Sunday mornings or your Sunday school teacher's words on Sunday morning. Get into the Word yourself and with your family on a regular basis. I want to exhort you, to encourage you, to get into God's Word this year. Now, maybe you've never made a commitment to God. Maybe you need to make a commitment this morning. Or maybe you're not as close to God as you used to be. And you see that, well, wow, this year's not been that great in my walk with God, but I need to be better next year. I need to be more committed next year. You can do that. You can come to Christ this morning. I'd love to talk to you after the service about this. You can recommit your life to God. I'll be glad to pray with you through that too. Or maybe you need to join this church and partner with this church with your talents and your treasures and your time. But whatever it is that God's told you this morning, don't just sit back and say, oh, that was good. Do something. Be obedient to what God has told you. And like I said, if you would like some encouragement, if you would like some prayer, I'll be glad to pray with you after the service. Let's pray. God, you've shown us this morning that the dawning of a new year provides an opportunity to start over again and to live our lives with resolve, with a whole heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would send this word deep into our hearts, so that we can meditate on your word, that we can read your word, that we can be wholehearted in our commitment to you. Father, you say that your word will not go out and come back without accomplishing what you have set forth. So, Father, I pray that you would take the word that I've read and that I've spoken this morning, and that you would accomplish what you will with it. And I pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.